Hey, sisters, welcome to the Cultivating Hearts podcast. Today we're going to hang out and we are talking about what do you do when you're just too tired to even be in the game?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are dealing with a lot of world events that even make us tired. I think we are dealing in our culture at this time with so many more things than maybe past generations have. Granted, past generations have had to deal with their own things, like the Great Depression and
war.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. But I think every parent can relate to at least a time in your life where you've gone through periods where you're just exhausted and you're like, I don't know how I can even think through what I'm supposed to do parenting right now because I'm just so dang tired.
You know, this thread runs through every generation with yes. every parent. You know, we've all had our trials and struggles with our children, with our emotions, with our spouses, and dealing with conflict.
I think the first step in all of this is when we start talking about being exhausted. A lot of us have at least one, maybe a couple kids that are just more difficult and strong-willed than the rest, and it makes you even more tired. So I think we have to recognize, first of all, that it's not just them that's making us want to throw in the towel, but that we are a part of that as well, and we need to recognize what our role is in being exhausted and why we want to throw in the towel.
Yeah, as mentioned, there's a lot of worldly worries going on right now. There's a lot of pressure. You might not be sleeping at night very well. You might have just had a baby and dealing with postpartum. But we are in a battle. Have you noticed? We have it raging all around us. There's always something. Something's always popping up. You get done with one thing and then there's something else, whether we like it or not. And we are going to either shrink back, fight, or maybe freeze. And this even kind of goes back to thinking about, for me, attachment styles that I talk often about in the counseling room. How we were parented really does affect how we are in relationship with people. We might have an anxious attachment style, a secure attachment style, or avoidant attachment style. You can look any of that up online and get more information about that. Sometimes we do have that fight-flight response or freeze, as mentioned. And we just don't know how to get past it. We're not exactly sure. Sometimes we just get so tired that we don't even care. Like, we're done.
I know. Like, can you please stop asking me the same question over and over and over again? Eventually, I'm going to just cave and be like, fine.
Whatever.
Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. Does it feel like everybody else has it all together? Have you ever just thought, man, your family just seems like...
Oh my gosh, especially if you're spending time going through people's stories and their reels and, you know, you're getting the glimpses of their life that they want to share with you. You're not getting the mom who's like burnt out and laying on the couch and, you know, has headphones on because they're drowning out the sound of their kids.
Or going to their bathroom and turn on the hairdryer, which is what I do.
I have a friend who hides in the pantry and has a secret stash of like chocolate and she'll hide in there so that they can't hear her opening wrappers. They don't show you those things on Pinterest
they
and
don't.
On Instagram.
They don't. Or when you go to church on Sunday morning, I've heard several people say to me, everybody seems like they have it together at church and nobody really seems real or sharing their stuff. And I want to say, well, you know, is that a realistic expectation that on a Sunday morning somebody's going to spill their guts to you? That's kind
right? of... They're only there for an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half, you know. And so that's where life groups come in. That's where Bible studies come in, where you can really spend some time getting to know people and sharing your struggles so you don't feel alone and that you're the only one going through some of these things.
Yeah, you can portray yourself. I mean, like you have it all together. I mean, we could fight the whole way to church and the kids are miserable, but you get out of the car and you all walk in. It's like, oh, there's a big happy family.
Wow, and we just fought the entire way here if you only knew. Yeah.
Right?
Put that smile on and act right. Yep.
That's right. Get it together.
Pull it together, people. So there's a lot of methods, right? 12-step programs, self-help books. We're wondering, you know, what are other people's secrets? How do they seem to have it together? Or if they don't, you know, what are their tricks? What are their tools?
I think for everybody, it's different. I mean, try to come up with the easiest solution. Like, I need a solution to whatever problem I'm facing in my household. And I think that easily we fall into this trap of like, well, it worked for them. It's surely going to work for me.
Or give me a quick pill to swallow, please. Just right? Tell me what to
do. Make it go away. But what we have to realize is that it's not a one size fits all. We have to sit down with the Lord and figure out what our particular weaknesses are and where we're struggling and where we're sinning and where those voids are. Without sitting down with the Father, we're not ever going to figure that out.
Well, and so what we typically do is we look externally at, you know, to the books, to the curriculums. And can those things work for a while? Yes, they can. Externally, we can move emotions and behaviors around. Even, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you might be able to stay sober for weeks or days or years, and then one day maybe you relapse. You are able to manage those behaviors and emotions for some time. But like you said, if we don't get to the internal issue with the Father, how long can we really manage those emotions on our own, fighting our own battle?
Yeah, I just think of a lot of parents. Just within my own friend group, it's some of them might have thyroid issues. Some of them maybe haven't been sleeping because they have a brand new baby. Some of them...
low vitamin D levels. I mean, we live in Ohio, so we have a lot of cloudy days. We have adrenal gland issues that can cause anxiety.
It could just be selfishness.
Yeah, sometimes we just need to die to ourselves. And that is not fun, to be laying down what we want or to not act on our emotions. It's not fun. But usually if we're following our emotions, it's going to lead to disaster at some point. Our emotions and feelings are really important. They are red flags to look at what it is we need to change or, you know, speak to the Father about or where we need to set boundaries. At the same time, our feelings are fickle. And if we base our life on our feelings, we're going to be like on a roller coaster up and down the rest of our lives. So our emotions are important, but we can't live our lives based on them. And that can be really, really hard to do. But yeah, like you mentioned, there are, you know, so many roots to depression, for instance. There's so many roots for those of us who've experienced anxiety. I could write a page and a half probably on the roots for each one of those. It could be physical issues, like we mentioned, or it can be
trauma. It could be, trauma. I mean, so many things. Selfishness. It could be.
And so only the Father is going to know our story and know what it is that we are really, truly dealing with. It says the Holy Spirit searches the deep things and knows the deep things, and He's the only one that really knows. So we need to sit down and ask, what is really going on here? And so many times, we don't want to repent. We don't want to call something sin. Years ago, 20 plus years ago, I went through deliverance, healing and deliverance, and it was interesting. It was the first time I really had to sit down and go, okay, I am part of this problem. Now, there are things that happen to you and have happened to me that have nothing to do with anything I did, but there are things that I have done that I've opened the door to, and there are consequences.
Yeah, that make it worse.
And so I've learned that, you know, I have to, repentance isn't something to make us feel condemned. It's the part, it's the equation in God's design for Him to set us free so that He can heal our hearts and set the captives free. But we have to cooperate with Him in repentance, in confession, and that's where true healing begins.
Yeah, when Joanna and I started talking about this particular topic, I said, I feel like it's like Cinderella's shoe. You know, we're trying to fit all of us into this same mold, you know, of, you know, anxiety or exhaustion or whatever comes from the same rooted place.
And you could read one book, right?
Yes, one everybody. Book is going to fix everybody's problems. And just like Cinderella, it was very specific to her. She was the only one whose foot was going to fit into that slipper. And Joanna kind of looked at me and she goes, that is so weird that you just said that, because I had a client yesterday that I was just comparing Cinderella.
I was using totally confirmation.
Yes. Yeah, so it just, yeah, it was confirmation that we both were just on the same track, and it really it boils down to, we're individual people with individual needs and sins and weaknesses, and we have to go to the Father if we're going to ever even figure out what those things are.
Right, right. You know, and I always explain to people, like, let's look at our lives holistically. What is going on biologically? What is going psychologically on with us? What stinking thinking are we experience? What thoughts do we need to take captive? What's going on with us socially? You know, do we have support? Do we have accountability? Do we have people that we're involved with? Do we have that life group or Bible study we're involved with where we have support? And spiritually, where are we? Where is our relationship with God? And sometimes when our relationship with God is not in a good place, we are not going to experience healing. There could be a block between you and God. I know I had one. And at one point, somebody had asked me, shut your eyes, where's Jesus in the room? And you might sense something, hear something, see something, have an impression. And I saw myself with my hand stretched out, like, God, you're not coming any closer to me than this. And then I spent the next couple of years just arguing with God, yelling at God, dealing with my anger. And then I surrendered. And that was the beginning of healing. But we have to invite him in, I've learned this the hard way, to the process of healing. And if we don't, we're probably just going to have this external experience where we just move around our emotions, we just compartmentalize them or push them down and repress them, or move them around again, but we never really lay them down.
I feel like so many parents, like you said when you're talking about the 12-step program, you know, you can manage the behavior for a short time. Like, you might read a parenting book that you're really inspired by and it seems like, man, this is going to be it. And you do it for a while, and maybe there are a few techniques that you put into practice that, you know, they start working, or you see some improvement in your kid's behavior, or feeling like, man, I'm less exhausted than because I feel a little bit inspired. But it is temporary. And then you have to go to the next book, and maybe it's, you know, months down the road or even years down the road, and you find yourself reading another book and it's like, okay, I'm still here, still struggling with the same battles. And
God knows the very heart issue and the root that will dismantle the entire thing. Now, again, you might have to still go get some help physically for an alcohol problem. You're going to have to
Or even a thyroid problem. I mean,
yeah, thyroid.
There are so many reasons, but until you sit down and you really figure out what it is that God wants you working on, there's not going to be that eternal solution, the thing that really fixes it.
So in Psalm 139, 23 through 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So if there is something in us, as I discussed, that we need to lay down, that's the part we need to take care of. If we have made a vow with something that's not healthy, or we've made an agreement with something, we need to break that agreement, repent about that agreement, break those vows, and then lay them down at the cross, ask the Lord what it is he wants to give us. His peace, obviously, his joy in trial and tribulation, his comfort. He wants to give us those things. However, until we're willing to lay some of these things down, I don't know that we can receive the goodness. Because all the junk is there.
Mm-hmm. I think ultimately all of us want to be that parent that's full of energy and wants to engage and wants to be really involved. And it just isn't happening because we're not well ourselves.
Yes, it starts with us. We do have difficult children sometimes, as we talked about. However, how are we responding? Are we escalating with the difficult child? Are we yelling at the difficult child? because we're irritable, because we have to go do a blood work panel to decide what's going on with our thyroid, or check our vitamin D levels, which could be the reason for our depression, or check our adrenal glands, our cortisol,
your glycemic levels. I mean, everything.
You could be anemic and have anxiety. You can have low blood sugar and have anxiety.
Yes, it's so many things.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I think people too get very into this place of shame as well. It may not have anything to do with anything that you did that you need to repent about. It really could be your physical health. And so you think, as a Christian, oh my gosh, I've been reading my Bible, I've been doing all the right things, what is wrong with me? And you could sit in counseling the rest of your life, and you could read your Bible all day long, and unless God heals you completely, you're still going to have those physical issues until you really figure out what...
You have a hormone imbalance. Yeah, you could pray all day long, yeah. And... You just need to balance your hormones.
Yes, yes, yes. And that progesterone and estrogen, boy, right? I mean, I'm perimenopausal. That's too much information, maybe. But, you know, I just recently decided I need to go check out those hormone levels. And there is bioidentical hormones, not the synthetic kind. I don't recommend that. But, you know, as you get older, your progesterone goes down. That is your calming hormone. Which makes you more estrogen dominant. Oh, man, you could get really irritable and you're not sure why, and you're sitting in counseling maybe forever, and it's like, man, when I talk to the pharmacist, who I love working with people like Dr. Amen, A-M-E-N. He's an integrative psychiatrist. I would highly recommend reading any of his stuff on the birth control pill, which can cause mental health issues. He also talks about the thyroid, what panel you can take to your doctor to get the full panel to make sure you're really getting a good look at the full panel thyroid.
Yeah, if you just go get tested, you will not come back thinking that you have a thyroid issue and they are missing the bigger
short one. Both of us did the short one, nothing, and then we did the long panel and there was issues there.
Yeah.
So I really like people who do an integrative approach, a holistic approach. The guy who I talked to regarding hormones, he said, you know what? Most women do not have an issue where they need an antidepressant. They have a hormonal imbalance. And so doctors are like, oh, you're just crazy. Or, oh, you just need to be on antidepressants. And no, you just need to balance your hormones. So we must stay in step with the Father. Everything we say, everything we do, we have to be in step with Him, or we could just fall off a cliff. And I think I've been there.
I fell off a couple cliffs. You done fell.
I done fell. I'll tell you that. Yep. 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 So what do I need to say in this situation? What do I not need to say in this situation? Do I need to leave this situation altogether until I can come back and deal with my child in a healthier way?
I think that when we're in that prayer time too, just asking the Lord how to deal with that specific child is, it's a game changer. When I have seriously come up with so many things on my own accord, you know, by reading books or by watching videos or whatever it is, I have come up with my own conclusions. And it's just like in Proverbs 16:9, it says, the heart of the man plans his own way, right? But it's the Lord who's going to direct my steps.
And establish your steps.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I have to be willing to let that happen. And when I finally did, and when I sat down, I was like, okay, God, this kid is really, really making me tired. Like, I don't even know how to begin with this one.
And sometimes your kid is just like you, which is why there's issues. There's right. Like control issues between you or, right, yeah.
But asking for direction in how to handle that, because you can't discipline every kid the same way. You can't have conversation with them the same way. Can't even have the same expectations for every kid. And so when I finally sat down and asked for the direction, it wasn't even what I was expecting. But when you start implementing that, it's a game changer.
It's hard to get our own emotions and our own trauma and our own stuff out of the way. If we're not healthy, it's really hard to even listen to God.
And how many parents are just, I feel bad. I mean, I've been there. And I mean, even now, I have moments where it's like, okay, I'm pregnant, I'm sick, I know that I don't want you on technology again, but my gosh, you've asked me 45 times and I can't possibly have the energy to tell you no one more time. Mm-hmm. And you cave because you aren't well enough. You are struggling physically. And so we have to be able to get ourselves in check so that we have the strength and endurance that we need to parent well. So to wrap all this up, it really just boils down to getting into your secret place. We've talked about this in, I think, every podcast, but it's so important that we get there and we meet with the Lord and we allow Him to direct our steps. And if you haven't gone to check it out yet on our website, which is thisohiofarmhouse.com/cultivatinghearts, go there and look at our workbook that we have created for you. It walks you through a healing process. There's a ton of great questions and really thought-provoking, kind of challenging questions for you to work through that will help you in the path to healing. But really, ultimately, we want you to download the free journal that we have that's meeting with God every single day, just kind of walking you through how to be in the secret place, what that looks like, how to listen to His voice, how to discern what He's saying to you. And so go download that one because it's completely free for you to download and you can use it every single day in your quiet time.
It starts with us and it starts with inviting Him in so that we can work with Him and He can help fight our battle.
Yeah. So we got to get in there. We got to get to work. Seek the Lord, and we're going to see you next time on Cultivating Hearts. Thanks for being here.